Tonight's reading is from the first letter to the church at Corinth, and chapter 1, and if you have a red church Bible, then it's page 1144, starting at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews. Sorry, I've lost my place. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
Hi, my name's Gemma. I used to work here at P's and G's many moons ago, and now you'll mostly find me at the 10 a.m. service running after my two-year-old, who just now has an obsession with a Gruffalo hat, which, to be honest, was a win for us on Thursday, World Book Day, 8 o'clock, out to nursery. You're already a Gruffalo. Fab. During the week, I'm said running after my two-year-old and also work a couple of days a week for a charity called Home Start, and we support families with children under 5. I work in the northwest of the city supporting families who are struggling. And over the last 2 years, my TV watching has become very different to how it was. Bluey, big fan. Thomas the Tank Engine, Jojo and Gran-Gran. Sometimes if life's really rough, Coco Melon. I hope that nobody knows these because they're really rubbish. But also, in my spare time, my TV watching has also become slightly random. I have become enchanted with Antiques Roadshow. I know, laugh, it's funny. As a child, my sister would watch Antiques Roadshow on a Sunday, and I, first of all, would slag her off. Second of all, did not understand what this was all about. Why? Why are random people bringing random old things to a stately home and asking people to talk about them? They made no sense to me. This is Oswald. Oswald was found in this woman's back of her drawer. It'd been there for decades. She was like, it's a little toy. She decided one day to take it to the Antiques Roadshow. Oswald was one of the first Disney characters, predated Mickey Mouse. 1927, Oswald was created, and there was like 27, I think, series with Oswald in it. And then obviously they created Mickey Mouse and goodbye Oswald. So Oswald got valued £2,000. Not bad. I actually think it should be a bit more, but you know. So the Antiques Roadshow. I think, what is this all about? But what I have become in love with the Antiques Roadshow is that people find random things and they take a chance on them. They think, these things, I think, mean something. And although it might be a bit foolish, although it doesn't make sense, I'm going to take a chance on this thing, and it always exceeds their expectations. And tonight, that's kind of what our passage is saying. It's saying that the cross for many people seemed foolish. But take a step back, have a look at it in a different light, and actually it will exceed your expectation and be something wonderful. Before we open and look at our scripture, let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, and we pray that tonight it might speak to each one of us. Might you change our expectations of what the cross is so that it can lead us into a deeper relationship with you. Holy Spirit, come and move. Amen. So our passage, 1 Corinthians. I think it's important to always know what the context is of a passage. So this passage was written, this is a part of a letter by Paul to the church in Corinth. Corinth was a big city. It was a metropolitan city. It was cosmopolitan. It was a port city. It had lots of comings and goings out of this city. And because it had lots of comings and goings out of it, it was really diverse. Sometimes fantastic. And if you can live with diversity, that's fab. But the Corinthians struggled with living with diversity, and they had lots of divisions. So they would argue a lot within the city of Corinth, and this was coming in to the followers of Jesus. 1 Corinthians was written about 50 years after Jesus was born. So this is really early Christians, early followers of Jesus, trying to make sense of what this is all about. And there was divisions within these people. So there was people saying, hey, this is how I think we should live. No, 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 this is how we should live. No, this is how we think. And there was no clear way. So this was part of the reason Paul was writing this letter, was to say, you think this and you think this. Here is actually the way of Christ. And he opens up our passage tonight with verse 18. And verse 18 says this: for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And Paul uses contrasts a lot in this passage. And the first contrast he makes is this contrast. Some think the cross is foolishness, but actually the cross is the power of God. Some think the cross doesn't make any sense, but actually there is power, and he goes on to say there is wisdom in the cross of Christ. I want us to skip on to verse 20 and to look at, actually 22, and see this, another contrast that Paul is making. He says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. So the contrast Paul is making here is he's saying, Jews, you demand signs. Gentiles, you look for wisdom. But the crucified Christ is different. The crucified Christ shows us power and wisdom in a different way. I want us to think and sit a bit with the Jewish people's experience here. So as I said, the Corinthian church was one of lots of different faiths, and lots of people who were in there will have been people who had converted from the Jewish faith and who were now following Jesus' way. So the Jewish people always wanted a Messiah, a savior, who was a strong political leader. They wanted somebody, their savior, to come and show everyone who they were. They wanted the savior to be somebody who was not going to be show people like, oh, is this him? No. The savior was going to be obvious and explicitly the savior. And remember, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, had been persecuted for many, many, many hundreds of years. They'd been slaves. Their places of worship had been destroyed. They'd been subjected to time and time again being pushed aside. So for them, having a savior that was going to turn over the political systems was the thing that they had to get to change their narrative. But what did they get? They got a savior that hung on a cross. And the thing about the cross is that dying on the cross was the weakest, most futile, ugliest, most despised thing that you could possibly die. You were totally fragile. You were totally weak if the political system could just take you through a city on a cross and then get you to hang on it for days. What's the power in that? Where's any power in that? So for the Jewish people, looking at the cross seemed so foolish. They needed signs. They demanded signs because they needed to see them. But what Paul is saying is that the power here and the power of the cross and the power of God is something different. The power of God needs to surpass this political power that you're so longing for, because the power of the cross and the power of Jesus in verse 27 and 28 says this: but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So God says, the power that I'm showing, the power of the cross, is in weakness. The power in the cross is in the lowly. The power in the cross is in the things that are despised. But that's my power. My power transcends this political power. And that power says that you who are weak, you who are lowly, can be empowered by it. I don't know about you, but I look at the world today and I think, what is happening? What is happening? Politicians get to run huge countries and are criminals. One person decides, I want to take over that country, so wages war for years upon years. Whole countries, whole ethnic groups are getting annihilated. Terrorists are taking kidnapped innocent people. Rich people are adding more and more and more money by burning fossil fuel, which is affecting people millions of miles away. Politically, I'm with the Jewish people, I want. I want God to come and change this politics and turn this upside down, because this makes no sense, what is happening politically today. But if we actually listen and understand what God is saying to us and the cross is calling us into, is that we, as people who are foolish, as people who are weak, as people who are lowly, as people who might feel despised and powerless, actually can be empowered, actually can stand up for these things and know that we take an example by a God who died on a cross and showed us the ultimate act of humility and lowliness. So for us, we can be empowered to stand up, to use our voice politically, to use our vote for our neighbor, to use our money to change the climate crisis. Like the Jewish people, sometimes we might look at the cross and think, that is foolish. What is happening there? But our passage is saying, and Paul is calling us into seeing power differently, to seeing power as something that is found in the weak and the lowly, and because of that, we are empowered as weak and lowly people to turn things about. And hopefully that can turn some of this political madness that we see around. So that's the Jewish people's experience. But Paul also talks about the Gentile experience in our passage. And the Gentile experience is different, because at this time, Gentiles were anybody who was not a Jew was a Gentile. So they would follow lots of different religions and faiths and thinkings. Lots of them would be following Greek gods. So gods like Poseidon or Zeus, and they would call on these Greek gods and they would say to these Greek gods, show me wisdom in an area that you are wise in. So Poseidon, wise in the sea, show me wisdom, give me the way for this. And all around in the city of Corinth, there was a big, big influence of philosophers. And the philosophers were saying, gain more wisdom, gain more knowledge. This is the way to life. If you just gain more knowledge, you just get to know more, and then you get to live a richer and fuller life. So this is what the Gentiles' experience was. And the Gentiles in it were saying that they were looking for wisdom in the cross. So when they looked to the cross, they were saying, this is foolish because this doesn't give me wisdom. This doesn't give me answers and ways forward. This gives me a crucified Christ. This gives me a God who died on a cross. How can I live my life for this? I think if we look and see again, we see that the Gentiles were trying to put their hope and put their life in their knowledge. And Paul knows that, and he calls that out. And I love it how he calls it out. Verse 20, he names four rhetorical questions. He says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I always, when I read this, and to be honest, when I read a lot of Paul's writing, I kind of see him pointing his finger and stamping his feet. But I kind of like to read these questions in a more gentle tone. And for Paul to be saying to us, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know all the answers to all the questions, because there are some things in this life that you cannot know the answer to. And that resonates deep within me, because I look around my life and the life of people that I know, that I work with, that I have known, and I see lots of unanswered questions. I see people who have died too early, children who get sick. People who lose jobs and can't find jobs. People who long to have a partner and never meet anybody. People who try and try and try to get pregnant and then never have a birth child. People who are robbed of a thriving life because of their mental or physical illness. And there are no answers. But what we have is the cross of Jesus that says to us the central act of our faith comes alongside us and says that I stand with you, because in these times of our deep human experience, there are no answers. And for Jesus, the way that he lived his life out, the way that he ministered, was not when people were grieving or asking these deep questions, throwing facts, throwing theology at them. He would sit and weep. And for us today, I think this speaks, because I don't know about you, but my social media is full of trying to give me answers to questions that I have, big and small. One of the big questions that I have just now is, how do I get my child to sleep? And my social media is full of answers for this. I can pay things, I can buy books, I could talk to somebody, and they would give me the wisdom and the knowledge for it. But that takes me just a bit far. It doesn't take me the full way. And Jesus sits in that space. He sits with us in the unknown. My friend sent me and a group of friends this week. Does anyone else just wish that Jesus would walk into the living room, sit down with a cup of coffee, look at you and say, okay, here's what we are going to do. Sadly, he doesn't. Sadly, he doesn't. He doesn't sit down and say, here's all the answers to all the questions. But Jesus does sit down with us and meets us at these times of deep need and at these times when we have these deep human experiences. Jesus does meet us. And gaining knowledge and gaining understanding is fantastic. And I think that is super. But what my point is that will take us so far. But what this wisdom that I believe that Paul is talking about tonight is saying is that the wisdom of Jesus and the wisdom of the cross is deeper than that and speaks deeper into our human experience, that says we don't need to know all the answers. We don't need to know them to get that far. We can be sitting in the unanswerable and find wisdom in that. To finish, our last verse says this: therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. I kept reading this and I kept on saying, what do we boast in? And I think sometimes what I realized and what I sat with was that sometimes when I go to work, go into my family, even around my Christian friends, I boast in that I have it all together, that I have the answers, that I have life sorted, that I have my faith sorted. But what we are hearing tonight is that Paul is saying, you don't need that. You don't need to think that you have all the power or all the wisdom in yourself. Fall back on some of that foolishness of the cross, that the power that the cross shows us subverts the power of today, and that the wisdom of the cross says to us that we can sit in the unanswered questions. And that's what we boast on. That's what we tell other people. That's what we stand on. And that's who we follow. So tonight, may you know and live in this power of the cross that says, although you might be lowly and weak, you still have power to come and subvert the political powers of today. And may you know the cross as wisdom, to sit in the place of unanswered questions, in the deep experience of being human, and know that it's okay to sit there because Jesus comes and sits with you there as well. Amen.